This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. There is little doubt Michigan's local food movement is growing. It's thriving. And we're seeing more and more chefs who deeply care about what they buy and from whom. Chefs like James Regatto of The Root in White Lake Township. The Root is a locavore restaurant. Writer Michael Jackman of the Metro Times is out with a fascinating story. He analyzed a meal prepared by Chef Regatto and then traced nearly 100% of its ingredients to all kinds of different Michigan producers. His just-released story in the Metro Times is billed as a grand tour of Michigan's local food movement. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, Cindy. Great to be here.
Tell us about the meal that Chef Regatto prepared. I guess we have to start with that to understand all of the producers.
Well, it's he called it a Michigan charcuterie board. It featured some fish and some shaved beef hearts, and he seems to enjoy creating dishes that have a riot of flavors. It's sort of the perfect meal to sit down with another person and enjoy over the course of a half hour with a bottle of wine.
Ooh, and you even point out that it was all presented on a board from a tree. The bark was even still on it.
That's right, and even the board was made in Michigan.
So what did you want to do with this story, Michael?
Well, James Regatto is probably one of the most notable people pursuing local food in a restaurant setting. So I figured if I were to ask him to make something that was made with all the Michigan ingredients, wouldn't the people who produce it be sort of an interesting cross-section of what we have in our local food movement that's going on right now?
As you realize, as you looked at that board with this fascinating array of flavors and foods, that virtually 100% of it came from Michigan, couldn't quite swing the olive oil, right?
That's right. So I'm afraid our climate isn't quite right for olives.
So let's kind of circle back now and follow you as you track down everyone who produced the food. Let's start with the meat. Who provided that meat, and what was different and special about the way they work?
The people that James Regatto works with are a really interesting collection of, some of them are holdouts from the family business days, some of them are pioneers of next generation stuff, but C. Roy would definitely be in the throwback category. It's a small family business. It's probably the last place where livestock comes in one end of the building, is slaughtered, packaged, and gets put in a freezer with the USDA stamp on it. Hmm. It's such a small business that Nancy Roy is likely to pick up the phone when you call.
And this business goes back to 1924. That's quite a long, long stretch.
That's right. In fact, it's sort of a pillar of the community. They just finished up with the annual Bologna Festival out in Yale, which centers on the factory, right down to the crowning of the bologna king and queen.
Michael, is the way C. Roy processing works, is that the way things used to be, do you think, before these concentrated animal feeding operations, as they're called?
You know, there's certainly not a lot that's new or different about the place. What makes it different is the fact that there are so many other places that do source their animals from feedlots and do put their meat right into a refrigerator and ship it and send it elsewhere, and it gets handled. And that all takes a toll on the quality. There are other ethical reasons why people like C. Roy. It's because they deal with old-fashioned family farms, which still exist in sort of the thumb, or at least the center joint of it.
And the trout. Tell us more about Indian Brook Trout Farm. It's near Jackson, isn't it?
Indian Brook Trout Farm was one of the most fascinating operations I've ever heard of. The owner has located a trout farm right next to the Absopure bottling plant for the same reason. He taps into an underground aquifer that draws out water that's always 51 degrees all year round and pumps it through to raise the trout, who are rather finicky about the water they swim in.
Hmm.
And it all goes through 3.2 million gallons a day of it. And then it empties out into the watershed where it recharges the drinking water table.
So the sustainability is absolutely built into this.
Yes, it's paramount for a lot of the aquaculture people that James Regatto works with. You know, this person was lucky enough to know a hydrogeologist who tipped him off to several different locations that would be ideal for what he was doing. He doesn't even have to pump the water out of the ground. It flows out, reducing his carbon footprint.
Now, what are these fish being fed, Michael Jackman? Because I'm wondering, is it as good, is it as healthy as what a trout in the wild would eat?
Fish feed mixes generally are about 80 or 90% vegetable matter. they do have to throw in a little bit of protein for the trout. But there's an innovation. Researchers have discovered a soybean that trout can break down, which means, well, you know, you may not be excited at the root, knowing that your fish was a vegetarian, but it does allow people at Indian Brook to source all of their feed from within the state of Michigan. In fact, they just grew a test field of the soybean out in Saline, and they said it did very well.
And speaking of innovation, Chef Regatto's shrimp comes from another aquaculture operation, ECA Farms in Okemos. Tell us about Russ Allen.
Russ Allen is very passionate about aquaculture. He spent probably 20 years building thousands of acres of shrimp ponds down in Central America. And then when he came back to the United States, he wanted to pursue that, but do it in an environmentally responsible way. You know, these people who farm shrimp in the Central America, they don't have an EPA down there. So all the shrimp effluents or shrimp waste just get flushed right out into the water system. Now, he believes that he can find a way, if he can, you know, increase the volume enough, to do it all right here in Michigan and have one of the biggest shrimp operations in the United States.
And as he pointed out, boy, do we import a lot of shrimp, 1.4 billion pounds of shrimp a year?
He calls it the biggest trade deficit in international food trade that we have.
Now, Chef Regatto drizzled honey over the dish, and that came from Judy and Lloyd Schmaltz of Clarkston?
That's right. They have an operation called Jody B. Honey Farm, which is almost verges on hobbyism. They have a honey house out in back of their house and about 125 hives that they distribute throughout the area. If that sounds like a lot, she's quick to point out that commercial honey producers have more than 600 or even 1,000 hives.
Wow. So it's very, very hands-on, very, and I'm sure very high quality, or it wouldn't be on Chef Regatto's table.
Well, what struck me about the Schmaltzes is that they seem to really care about their bees. They don't want to put them in places where the blossoms will be cut down. They're always concerned that they have enough food. And other than that, they kind of leave them alone and won't truck them all over the country. There's a certain kind of fondness for the animals that these food producers work with that is somewhat endearing. I mean, having an affection for the shrimp that you raise or the trout that you farm, it's not something that you would hear from a commercial operation of a great size.
Now, the produce came from Sunseed Farm in Ann Arbor. When I read your story, I went, oh, wait, we had Tom Becker on this program. We were talking about organic farming. Such an interesting career path for a guy who was an English lit major at MSU, no?
Indeed it is. And he's very eloquent about why he enjoys it. He says it makes him use all parts of his brain, that he's a horticulturist, an agriculturist, a mechanic, an accountant, and everything in between.
And again, that sense of being invested in what you're producing.
Yeah, and also I think hoping that we all choose to invest back into what he's doing. He raises the point that there's $1 billion worth of food that's purchased every year in Washtenaw County. And he asks us to imagine, what if 10% of that money were to stay in Washtenaw County for food produced there? You can imagine what kind of overwhelming impact it would have on our food systems.
Mm. And then the fruit comes from Spicer Orchards near Fenton?
That's right. It's an old family farm that's been out there since the late 1960s. Mr. Cartwright, I spoke with there, who's worked there since he was 15, says it's just close enough to the city to do business and just far out and enough in the country to be safe from the city and development.
It's nice to know that there are still these small farms because I'm certainly thinking, for example, along M59 corridor in Macomb County, there were so many truck farms. I remember interviewing a elderly gentleman who was one of these farmers, and he said, I can tell you where in the Target parking lot on M59 my radishes were.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, these businesses are able to survive and thrive because, well, you know, the Buy Michigan movement that started up about, I want to say, 8 years ago has really gained steam and endured. But even beyond that, these are businesses that have a very select clientele. They're selling to the chefs, and it's the chefs who are developing relationships with these growers and, in many cases, collaborating with them on growing heirloom vegetables or finding unusual products to use in their dishes. That makes the difference for these small producers. that the price point is somewhere where they can sustain their operations.
Michael, what most impressed you as you did this grand tour of Michigan's local food movement?
Well, I talked with a lady named Michelle Lutz, who runs Recovery Park. It's an ambitious program that was located in Detroit and will move back to the city in October. She wants to grow everything in raised beds and greenhouses and employ people with barriers to employment and help build careers and do it all for a profit. You know, that's the kind of endeavor that she says would not have worked 10 years ago. But because of where we are in our sophistication as far as Michigan food, that's something that she can do and make pay today.
Really fascinating look, giving us that sense of who it is producing the food that could wind up on your plate, especially if you're at the Root in White Lake Township, being fed by Chef James Regatto. We've been talking with Michael Jackman. His story, Anatomy of a Meal, can be found in the latest issue of Metro Times. Great talking food with you, Michael. Thank you so very much.
My pleasure, Cindy.